Have you ever watched a behind-the-scenes look at the making of a Disney attraction, land, or hotel, and you've heard Walt Disney Imagineers talk about their research trips? Well, just last week, I was invited by Disney and hosted in New Orleans for a few days to walk in the footsteps of the Walt Disney Imagineers as they continue to bring Tiana's Bayou adventure to life at Disneyland and Walt Disney World. I'm going to share some of the new details that I learned about the upcoming Princess and the Frog attraction, as well as the real dirt on what actually happens during these research trips. Full disclosure, though, Disney did pay for my flight, my hotel, and most of my meals during the stay in New Orleans, so this isn't a review of the experience because obviously it's not something that Disney is going to offer as a vacation in the future, and it's really just me sharing my thoughts about what I learned along the way. I just wanted to be upfront and honest about the fact that I did not pay for this. Actually, I've really struggled with how I was going to cover this research trip. I'm obviously extremely honored that Disney chose me and I was included, but going into this trip, I did have some issues with the marketing behind Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Since Splash Mountain's closure was announced, I've been pretty vocal about it being a good change, and really at its heart, Splash Mountain had good bones, and that's the most important part of that attraction to me. That being said, in the years since the initial announcement, Disney has placed a huge emphasis on the story of Tiana's Bayou Adventure and its authenticity to the city of New Orleans, and Disney's always known for having an elaborate backstory to anything they create, whether or not it serves a purpose, but for some reason, I just didn't feel like I necessarily needed justification behind this attraction. I just wanted to know if there's going to be lots of animatronics or if they're going to go for, you know, a cheaper route and just rely on screens throughout the entire ride. But the story is important. I now know that. If you don't know the story behind the ride, it's a sequel to The Princess and the Frog, kicking off right after the movie ends. Tiana purchased and transformed a salt mine into a thriving employee-owned business called Tiana's Foods, with an eye towards spice. Tiana wants to throw a party during Mardi Gras season to thank everyone who made the business a success, but of course everything goes wrong when they realize there's a missing ingredient, which isn't always food. The attraction will take guests into the bayou, where there will be plenty of new characters, familiar faces from the movie, along with new and classic music. That's really just the basic plot, and I'm sure I'll uncover more as we continue along, but I do want to talk about some of the new details first. Disney wasn't going to bring a group down to New Orleans and not break some new info on the attraction, and while it mostly pertains to the story, we also learned some interesting tidbits along the way about what to expect from the attraction. First up, Randy Newman may have written and composed the music for the movie, but to keep the attraction authentic to New Orleans, Disney has tapped New Orleans native PJ Morton to arrange and produce an original song for the attraction. PJ will perform on and produce the sessions in New Orleans of all new arrangements of the song, as well as songs from the Princess and the Frog film within the attraction. The queue is really the start of the story, and we learned previously that the sweet smell of beignets will be in the air, but Disney also announced that Grammy Award-winning and Oscar-nominated musician Terrence Blanchard would be the arranger, producer, and one of the performers for the attraction's queue music, which will be made up of songs from The Princess and the Frog, as well as iconic themes of New Orleans. The music and story will be emanating from a radio in the queue that was inspired by a radio and record player combo found at the New Orleans Jazz Museum. Imagineers were also influenced by a drum set at the museum, and it serves as the inspiration for the one that Prince Naveen's little brother Ralphie plays in the attraction. Just to make it clear, Ralphie and the drum set will physically be part of the attraction along with Tiana, Naveen, Louis the trumpet-playing alligator, Mama Odie, and plenty more. That was actually one of the highlights of this research trip, hearing about how many audio animatronics will be a part of the attraction. 17 new characters will physically come to life in the attraction, including the music-playing critters seen in earlier concept art. We were able to see a rendering preview of the otter character playing the fiddle, and the animatronic foot will be moving up and down while the otter sways side to side. Each character will have their own individual performance, and the sounds of the bayou will come to life through many different Foley techniques, like the croak can originally used by Disney sound effects pioneer Jimmy McDonald. During a question and answer panel, I asked if the characters would be all physical or if there would be new animation produced for the attraction, and the Imagineers confirmed there would be new animation as part of the attraction, bringing characters to life and then also animation that's used in a magical kind of way. Also, during the Q&A, a colleague asked about Easter eggs for Splash Mountain and if they'll recycle the characters, and the answer is, you'll just have to wait and see. He also asked about Walt Disney World getting the same treatment as Disneyland with Tiana's Palace, and the answer was, can't say, stay tuned, which, to me, that was very telling. Finally, Disney has been working with Sharika Mahdi from Yaya to interpret parts of the attraction through her artwork, and the fourth and final commission piece was revealed, tying in many important attraction elements together, with the most important being family. I think that's it for all the major updates for the attraction. I really hope I didn't miss anything, but there was a lot of information shared over the course of a few days, and I've been pushing my brain to try to figure out a way to share the research aspect of this trip. And I can't stall on that anymore. So here's where my mind went with the research trip. The Princess and the Frog is a beautiful movie that feels very authentic to New Orleans, to me at least, a person who's only been there once before on a day trip. If you're building a Tiana attraction, why not use the movie as source material rather than taking the time to visit New Orleans and research new elements to place into the attraction? Those questions were answered for me relatively quickly. Disney wants people from New Orleans to experience the attraction and say, wow. It's a love letter to the Crescent City, and it comes from a real place that needs to have an authenticity to it. Walt Disney Imagineering was given the chance to use the first American princess in an attraction and the freedom to build upon her story and add even more realism to the character, so they took it. The research for Tiana's Bayou Adventure took Imagineers to the bayou, museums, restaurants, and beyond to be as detail-oriented as possible. They needed to sample the finest Creole cuisine, listen to jazz in the heart of the French Quarter, and discover the living history of New Orleans. My first taste of this research trip began at View Orleans, which is an exhibit inside the Four Seasons where you can learn more about the historical New Orleans figures, the cuisine of the city, the music, and also ride an elevator up to the top of the building to get a panoramic view from the 34th floor. As a person unfamiliar with the city, I was blown away by seeing the differences in districts from a bird's eye view, as well as the Mississippi River. I don't think you've truly seen New Orleans until you watch a sunset from that height, but the real culture of New Orleans is found in the streets. Our first full day started off with a bayou tour. Disney Imagineers visited the bayou not just to study the critters that will eventually play makeshift instruments in the ride, but also to study the flora and the fauna of the waterways. The interior of the attraction is an enchanted evening in the bayou, with fireflies leading the way, meaning Imagineers have to nail the look of this serene ecosystem. Honestly, I have always expected the bayou to be like the start of Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, but it actually felt like I was right back at home in Florida, but with more gators than I even care to see here, and much more friendly raccoons. From there, we visited Yaya, which is a free program for young people ages 5 to 25, where they learn visual arts education combined with entrepreneurial and life skills training. Sharika, the artist who Disney commissioned to develop distinct visuals over the course of four paintings, is a Yaya alumnus and was able to show us the fourth painting in her series for the first time ever. Yaya is known for their painted chairs, and we also got a closer look of one of the chairs designed for Yadora's Chic Boutique at Disneyland, which pays tribute to good food, beignets, and music. Students on the campus just don't work with paint, but also have the chance to explore other mediums like glassblowing, which we got to watch while we were there. The young artists there also got a really unique opportunity to listen to stories from the Walt Disney Animation Studios visual effects supervisor Marlon West, who has worked on movies like The Lion King, Princess and the Frog, Moana, and the Frozen movies. Listening to Marlon was like being in the room for a live DVD bonus feature, and having the chance to hear those stories throughout our days together was an absolute highlight. Our first night ended with a very special evening at Dookie Chase's restaurant. I'm sure it's a familiar name to those who live in New Orleans, but I hadn't heard of it before. The late chef Leah Chase was one of the actual inspirations for Tiana, and it's a legacy her daughter Stella takes very seriously. The Chase family and Disney has a deep connection, and we were fortunate that Stella took the time to share stories about her mother, father, and the restaurant.
And it was just like Tiana. It was always my mother, Chef Leah Chase, Princess Tiana's dream to have a restaurant. It just so happened that her husband, before he was her husband, had an orchestra, a band. He loved music. He played the trumpet. He enjoyed music. But the war happened, and a lot of his musicians went off to war. And at this time, his parents needed him to come into the restaurant. But he never seemed to put that trumpet away. And that's why we have the trumpet in our bar area right on the shelf. Because any opportunity he had to have music in the restaurant or to play his trumpet, he did. And I'll tell you why. That was that trumpet, that music, that just got my mother to his heart. Okay, my mother was at a function where my father's band was playing. And of course she walked in, and she was a very pretty lady. And she caught his eye. And he said to the band member, as my brother always tell, look, we're going to start this song. You're going to continue it because I'm going to ask that lady to dance with me. So that lady, my mother, Leah Chase, danced with my father. And that was the story. That was the love story. It just so happened that his parents had a restaurant they had opened. And so she came into the restaurant business through her lover's art, her lover's family, and became part of the restaurant. And that fulfilled her dream that she always had to open a restaurant, to own the restaurant. She had worked in restaurants, but she had never been able to accomplish the dream of coming in and owning a restaurant. And of course, her love of restaurants, as she was in high school, she used to walk through the French Quarters looking at all the restaurants, looking at all the fine dining. And this gave her that opportunity to change, which was a po'boy stand, a family-owned restaurant, a small restaurant, into what she wanted it to be, Tiana's special place. And that's what we have today.
The restaurant underwent renovations after Hurricane Katrina, but there's still an energy from being in a space where legends like Duke Ellington, Nat King Cole, and Ray Charles came before, on top of two presidents, George W. Bush and Barack Obama. The evening was only made better with food, which was some of the best I had in the city up to that point, and it clicked that when you have great food in New Orleans, you connect with the city on a deeper level. The second full day of the research trip started with some museum hopping. The historic New Orleans collection has worked with the Walt Disney Imagineers to visually set a tone for the 1920s in New Orleans. The experts at the museum were more than happy to consult and collaborate to make sure Disney is accurately paying tribute to the region. Some pieces in their collection have directly inspired parts of the queue, like newspaper clippings, advertisements, and other media. A couple items were pointed out to us directly, including a painting from the 1800s of the French Market at sunset with a breathtaking color palette to draw from, as well as a crate label for Green Dragon brand dry pack shrimp, which you can then see as an inspiration for the hot sauce labels on Tiana's foods. Vintage Mardi Gras float designs and the Dorian's King costume were guides for Mardi Gras in the early part of the century. It was all fascinating, but my favorite part of the collection was a 1945 mural depicting Mardi Gras with a parade goer wearing a Mickey Mouse mask. The other museum we visited was the New Orleans Jazz Museum, which was housed in the former United States Mint Branch. The museum, as you could probably guess, celebrates the history of jazz in New Orleans. We got to take a peek into the massive archives full of vintage newspapers, maps that helped to inform the placement of the salt mine in relation to the city center, and so much more. The museum is home to plenty of instruments played by legendary musicians, including one of Louis Armstrong's trumpets. But we are there for a specific purpose, as I mentioned earlier, and that was to see the new rendering of Ralphie along with the radio and drum kit. We didn't have nearly enough time to explore the Jazz Museum before moving on to Preservation Hall, which is an intimate acoustic venue open most days of the year for jazz concerts in the heart of the French Quarter. My prior knowledge of Preservation Hall starts with a float featured at Universal Mardi Gras at Universal Studios, Florida, and ends with the epic performance that Jennifer Lewis put on there in 2022 during Essence Fest when the name and opening year of Tiana's Bayou Adventure were announced. The venue was once again used as an announcement ground for PJ Morton, but the true inspiration flowing through Preservation Hall came during the performances. Final stop of the research trip was at the Kern Studios Mardi Gras World. Obviously, Mardi Gras isn't going on at the end of May, but the event plays a big role in the attraction as well as the spirit of the city, so it was important to get a taste of the scale of Mardi Gras. The tourist attraction is open year-round and gives visitors an inside look at Mardi Gras parades being built for many clients like the different crews in New Orleans or even Universal Studios, as well as an up-close peek at past creations, and I was pleasantly surprised to see so many Disney characters, but apparently Disney has trusted the studios to recreate their characters for many years. That leads me directly to the end. Disney has had a long history with research trips like Walt and El Grupo in the early 1940s, and then plenty of research trips to New Orleans in the 1950s and 60s. Joe Rohde spearheaded research trips for projects at Disney's Animal Kingdom in a really big way, as well as Aulani, a Disney resort and spa. Even Star Wars Galaxy's Edge justified research trips to Moroccan and Turkish markets, as well as England to the movie sets and California to George Lucas's archives. I'm not trying to sit here and justify why Disney decides to do these trips. It's pretty straightforward on the Imagineering side as well as the Disney Animation Studios side. You don't make a movie as visually interesting as Encanto without actually going to Columbia. What I'm trying to say is more in relation to Tiana's Bayou Adventure. The story might not matter to a lot of people, like it didn't matter to me prior to this trip, but it all clicks now. You don't get a land like New Orleans Square in Disneyland without dedicated research and a meticulous attention to detail, and you can't bring Tiana's Bayou Adventure to life solely based off of The Princess and the Frog. The extra steps taken to tell the story the right way will make the attraction come alive the same way you can feel the soul and spirit of New Orleans when you walk the streets and take the time to absorb the city. I'm very glad I had the opportunity to better understand what sets Walt Disney Imagineering apart, and I'm more excited for Tiana's Bayou Adventure than I was before, and I look forward to sharing more details with you in the future about the attraction. But as always, visit wdwinfo.com for any of the latest updates on Tiana's Bayou Adventure.